Lord. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles. Thank you, musicians. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to 25. Just a short reading there. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning to read at verse number 23. Hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking. In fact, would you read this verse with me out loud? If you got your Bible, you got it on the screen. Read out loud this verse number 25 with me. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I'm not really sure, Sister Greeley, why I'm teaching this lesson tonight. But it is, I believe, what God gave me for tonight. Amen. It's this topic. Commitment to church. Very simple. Very, very plain. And I'm teaching it to people who are here on Wednesday night. So, why? Because God wants us to know this. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask, Lord, even tonight, Lord, that even as we consider, Lord, a commitment to church, Lord, in this topic, I pray your will be done in our lives. Lord, that we would put it in our mind, that we would understand it of the Holy Ghost. Lord, that it would reach our heart. Lord, that it would be a part of who we are. Lord, that your word would change our lives so that we could stand upon your word and that we would know it and live it. And Lord, just do your will. Help us, God, to do it. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. The church overall, the church, the body of Christ, which is all around the world, it has been since the day of Pentecost. It has never stopped. It's continuing. It will continue. Nothing on earth, no power, no kingdom, no president, no adverse people or kind will ever stop the church. Amen. The church, the body of Christ, the believers in Jesus Christ, will continue until he comes. Amen. It's already established. The question is, will I be in the church? The question of the church continuing is not a question. It's already established. It's in the Word of God. It's going to happen. Amen. And the church, the body of Christ, is an amazing thing. Even when you zoom in, if you will, and look at the small little speck of a spot that is Apostolic Lighthouse in Uncasville, Connecticut. The very farthest reaches of the earth from Jerusalem. Amen. The uttermost part, that's us. Amen. When you look at this church, it is simply incredible. Amen. It is simply spectacular what God is doing in this church. Amen. One young woman, first time here on Sunday, she gets to hear, don't give up, keep going forward. She made a step toward God, got baptized in Jesus' name, and she's excited now about coming to church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm thankful for a first-time experience. It does something for me. I'm glad I was here. Now, I wasn't one that got baptized, but I think I was just as happy as she was. Praise the Lord. It is an amazing thing what God does in the church. It's an amazing mix of people. We got, blue collar worker bees and professionals, and we got college educated and not college educated, and we got people that are small and tall and skinny and not skinny, and some that are every different. They're little kids and big kids and strong kids and weak kids and old folks and young folks. But you know what? It's all a part of the body of Christ. Every one of us has a place in the body, in the church. It's an amazing place. Every person, every profession, every imaginable skill that would be needed in the kingdom of God, God places in the church. Amen. In the church, individual members work together to accomplish common goals. Amen. And the common goals could be so very diversified. Amen. It's exciting to see the young people get excited about the walkathon. Amen. I think it's an awesome thing that we have at least two, maybe more. Any of the young people are you with in? I know there's two people that have made the $1,000 mark. How many people have you made the $900 mark? Anybody? Well, we're close. How about the $700 mark? Yeah. Amen. How about the $500 mark? Yeah. Yeah. Woo! You know what? That's awesome stuff. I'm excited about our young people getting excited about something in the kingdom of God. Amen. And it's not only the young people. They couldn't do it by themselves. They need the body to help them to do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about that. Or what if it's something so little as, cutting the weeds down along the brushy parts of the property? It's not real. I don't call that fun. But praise the Lord, some people came out and helped us, and it's getting done. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about that. Amen. If it doesn't get done, guess what? It looks bad. Praise the Lord. Things get done in the church because of the body of Christ. You see, together, all these people, different walks of life, different backgrounds, different interests, different things, we make up the body of Christ, the church. And we together are a spiritual house. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5, it says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." It is an awesome thing to have the body of Christ. One, it says, be lively stones. That means Don't be dead, in my mind, right? Lively stones as an indicator of people who are doing something in the kingdom of God. Amen. Lively stones are going to worship when it's time to worship. Lively stones are going to sing when it's time to sing. Amen. Lively stones are going to get involved in the things that are going on in the kingdom of God. They are, you know, people who are lively stones, people who are involved in the kingdom of God, people who are working in the kingdom of God, doing something for the kingdom of God. Lively stones are built up a spiritual house. When we are busy about the kingdom of God, it builds us up in our spirit. It helps us in our walk with God. Yes, I admit, when you get out of your car, or you get a ride, or you walk in the front or side door of the church, the clicker counter on the attendance chart, click, goes up one person. But me being in church, it's way better for me to be in church, for my own self, for my own spiritual uplifting, for my own walk with God. It's a bigger benefit to me to be in church than it is for the church to have me be in church. And it's a blessing to have you in church today. Thank you for coming on a Wednesday night. Thank you. Amen. I know what it's like to preach to me and my family. And it's much better to preach to a whole bunch of people. Praise the Lord. We make up a spiritual house. Get this now. This is almost a mind-boggling statement. An holy priesthood. You know, God is calling us a holy priesthood. Those that are lively stones, that are being built up a spiritual house, those people that are living in the kingdom of God, we're called here in Scripture a holy priesthood. Man, that's a pretty awesome statement in Scripture. That we could be a part of a holy priesthood. And we are. Amen. We've got believers in this church, this local assembly, that believes that Jesus Christ is the only living God. There is no other God. Dot at the end of the sentence. Just a clear-cut statement of truth. He's the only one. And when you believe that, and you've got that in your heart, and you praise the Lord because He is your God, you are a part of that holy priesthood. Amen. This is what we're made to do, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Oh, I felt kind of sleepy today on my way to church. But you know what? Once I got to church and I started lifting my hands and I began to magnify the Lord and I began to worship Him, and I, you know, you kind of forget about the sleepy part and you begin to get into the worship part. And that, my friend, is a spiritual sacrifice. Flesh don't feel like it. Flesh would like to be sitting in the lazy boy in the corner of my living room, all laid back and snoring. but I'm way better off in church than in my lazy boy. It's better for me to make it to church. That spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. It's right in the sight of Jesus. Amen. The church is the body of Christ upon the face of the earth today. It is absolutely, without question, predestined to continue. It will survive whatever comes against it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And it will survive, it will continue, it will gain strength, it will gain in power, it will be protected by the hand of God until Jesus brings the church out of the world. Until the time of the catching away of the church will be victorious. It's not a maybe or a might either. It is going to happen. It is more sure than tomorrow's newspaper or news feed on your smartphone. Not many people get newspapers anymore. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That rock is the revelation of who Jesus is. Thou art Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, the holy one. Amen. That revelation of who Jesus is the rock. It's the cornerstone of our faith. Amen. However, the anointing of God on the church, get this now, is limited by the attitudes of the members that make up the body. If we have a church that doesn't pray and doesn't worship and doesn't give, and isn't sacrificial, if we have a church that is lackadaisical, if we have a church that is not committed, if we have a church that is like the world, it will be a weak, anemic church. The power that the church has is not in us, it's in Jesus. The closer we become to Jesus, the closer our commitment to the church, to Jesus, the greater the power of Jesus will be in the church. Prayer changes things. Amen. A church that will pray, amen, is going to see results from that prayer. You praying for your family members? Guess what? There's family members going to be saved. You praying for your finances? Guess what? God is going to bless you when you're faithful in your finances. Which I have to say this too, comma. If you're robbing God, you are cursed with a curse. But when you are faithful, you are blessed by God. It's in His Word. He cannot lie. Praise the Lord. The church is limited by the attitudes of the member that make up the body. Amen. I want to say this too, and I've said it before. In fact, I've said most of this stuff before. Worship is contagious. Amen. I hope it spreads from one person to another. And we all get infected. With worship. I hope every one of us gets a really good case of it. That worship just moves upon us. That we become consumed, not in our own selves, but in worship to Jesus the Christ. Amen. It's not just individual people, but the health of the church depends upon the spirituality of those individuals, yes, and also of the leaders. Amen. If you're a leader in our church, then we should be leading in the aspects of the church. The leader should be the first people to pray, to worship, to give, to serve. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, the church is the body of Christ here on earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." You know, it would be very easy to come to a church and to just, and to think, well, what I do isn't really important. Yes, it is. What you do is just as important as what the next person does. Amen. What I do is important just as what you do is important. Amen. In fact, in any particular case, in any particular service, it could well be that God's intent for that service is dependent upon you. A prayer that you might pray. You might be the one to be healed in that service. That new convert, you know, that, what was her name? It starts with an M. Emily? You got baptized on Sunday? Emily? Emily? Okay. She probably didn't realize that she would be such an important part of the service on Sunday when she started coming here in the morning. But she became an integral, important part of what God wanted to do in this church. And it was her first time ever coming here. God is not limited to use who He will to perform His purpose. Amen. To bless the body of Christ. As in a body, or just as a body, the church is active and living, powerful and productive. The church is the ministering hand of Jesus Christ that's moving within His people, the individual members of the body, on the earth. God is using us, your mouth, your hands, your feet, to do His will. I found this in a the summer version of the teacher's guide for the Sunday school materials. If Jesus has arms with which to embrace people, they are our arms. If he has legs with which to go to the lost, they are our legs. If he has hands with which to touch the hurting and suffering, they are the hands of the Christians. If he has a mouth with which to offer a word of rest to the weary, it is our mouths. I'm telling you, God wants to use us, the body of Christ, for his purpose on the earth. Amen. Since the church is his body, then the church must do the following. Do what Christ would do if he were here. Amen. Reflect the same values that Jesus Christ has. Express the same care and compassion that Jesus would express. You see, there really is a commitment to church. One body, many members. Its members vary. We are different in personalities, different in very many ways. Yet each member is significant in his own way. Everybody in the body of Christ is important. You just walk around the house barefoot and hit the corner of the chair with your little toe in the dark and see if your little toe isn't important. Ow! My wife was going through the yard one day and caught her toe on little toe on something, and that little toe went sideways. She broke her little toe. You know what? When mama's got a broken toe, nothing else in the whole world matters. Everything gets put on the back burner, and we're going to the emergency room, and they're going to put that little toe back where it belongs. Tape it up. It may seem like a little thing, but that little toe became the most important thing in my life at that moment. Nothing else was more important. Right? Anybody agree with me? It may seem so insignificant, so the thing you don't even think about. And all of a sudden, when that little thing is hurting, it becomes important. If you feel like the little thing and you are hurting, then you are important to the body of Christ. You become the priority in the kingdom of God. Amen. God pays attention to small things. He's a great God and he's able to do all things. All power is in his hand. Everything is at his control. But little things matter to God. Romans chapter 12. Let me read there. Beginning at verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. The body of Christ is not only functioning within the four walls of the church. It should be that we're willing to pray for one another, help one another, be there for each other, in loving kindness, fervent in the Spirit. Amen. That's God's will for the church. The church is a living organism, a body. The church is not just an institution. You know, there's clubs. You could name a whole bunch of community-type clubs that are in and around in our community. And perhaps they have, at least in their sight, a good purpose. But there is no higher purpose than that of the church. Amen. None of them has the great purpose as the church. Amen. Saving of souls, escaping hell, getting to heaven. That's a pretty high, that's the highest objective that we can have on earth. Is to please Jesus. The church is not a dead institution. It is a living expression of abundant life. My life is blessed because I'm in the church. Because I serve God. I've said it over and over and over again, and I really, really mean it. My life is blessed because of Jesus. Amen. You look at other people that are around you. I look at other family members, other friends that I've known for a long, long time, even people I grew up with, even people that were much smarter than me, way more talented perhaps than I am. But without living for God, not being in the church, I don't want their life. Their life has got chaos and turmoil and, man, bad stuff going on. But I tell you, yeah, sure. There's things that come up in my life. I'm not saying everything in my life is a bed of roses. But I tell you, God brings me through everything that is thrown at me. Amen. If I get sick in my body, my God is a healer. Amen. My God is my provider. My God is my protector. My God is my helper. My God is my wisdom. My God is my shield. He's my buckler. He's my strength. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. My abundant life is because I am in the church. That's the difference between a blessed life and a cursed life. In a local church, just like this one, one should find fellowship with others who believe the same basic doctrine. I want to hang out with people of like precious faith. Amen. It gives me joy to hang out in a group of believers. That's where I want to be. You can go to a group in your neighborhood. You can go to the work group from your job. You know, they did a bowling thing recently. They did a picnic thing in my neighborhood. They did a bowling activity from the workers at work. And they, you know what? It's just not the same as being around believers in Jesus Christ. Amen. They don't talk about things that I like to hear about. And what I have to say, that is, it's going to involve something about how good God is and how much I love God and how, what good things God is doing. Those are the things I like to talk about. Amen. In the body of Christ, we should have a place to freely express worship for God. If you can't worship at Apostolic Lighthouse, your worshiper is broken. We're going to pray God heal your worshiper. your worship something inside you. Because there is a liberty to worship in this church. Amen. Thank God. It shouldn't be taken lightly. It shouldn't be taken for granted. It should be a place where there, every local church, every body of Christ should be able to find a place where the genuine power of God is at work. People being converted, people being baptized, people being filled with the Holy Ghost, people getting healed, people getting delivered, people receiving revelation, people receiving anointing, people receiving a calling. You know, these are the normal things that people should receive in church. That's the way it's supposed to be. So if people are going to a church where these types of things are not regularly happening, then you're in the wrong church. Amen. Same goes for this church. If we stop worshiping, if we stop praying, if we stop preaching the truth, if we stop lifting up Jesus, if we stop being the body that is called for by the Bible, then stop coming to this church. Find a church that where the things that the Bible are, that they're doing the things in the Bible at that church. But as for me, I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to preach the truth. Amen. I know God is going to do miracles. There is no lacking on the part of God. God is all powerful. Amen. Every church, each church, every person should have a place where they can be confident that they can bring someone else to hear the preached truth and find salvation. Amen. You should be able to go to anybody on your job. You just come to church one time, and you can have confidence that that one time that they show up, God is going to do something special in that one service. Amen. Every time, there's going to be something for them to hear from God. Amen. A place where you can find fellowship with brothers and sisters in faith. Amen. We are the body of Christ. Not every church is like that. Not every church has the relationship that people have in this church. Thank God for what God is doing in this church. The church has authority. Of course, Jesus Christ is at the pinnacle, the peak, the very top. It is Jesus Christ who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Nothing is higher or more important than Jesus and His Word in this church. Amen. The church operates smoothly and functions properly when Jesus is the head of every activity. Amen. Every fundraiser, every church service, every event should have a focus on Jesus. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Amen. The Almighty God, Jesus Christ, is at the top. And pastors are under shepherds. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Commonly referred to as a fivefold ministry. God has put the ministries in the church for a purpose. Here it is. The purpose is verse number 12, very next verse. The reason these ministries are in place are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It should be building us up. Amen. In Jesus Christ. And pastors are shepherds, not just leaders. I'm very sensitive to things that are outside, that come from the world when it comes to the church. You know, I'll hear people talk about other churches. Bing, 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 bing. Warning signs go up all over in my head. Bing, bing. What kind of church are you talking about? You talking about a Jesus name, apostolic, one God, holy, living church? Well, all right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. If it's any other kind, any other thing, boing, boing, boing. My head is full of danger signs. Man, there's all kinds of religions in our world. And most of them are not worth going to. It's got to be the name of Jesus. Very specifically. It's got to be the Bible way. Amen. It's got to be. Not because I said so. It's because the Word of God says so. Amen. For the perfecting of the saints, the edifying of the body of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 2. Talking about pastors, we have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 2. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. I'm not supposed to do it because someone's forcing me to do it. And I can't force you to do it. But willingly. Not for a filthy lucre. Not because I'm getting a big fat paycheck. But of a ready mind. I come to church because I want to serve the Lord. And long before I ever became a pastor, I went to church faithfully, committed to the church because I wanted to be. Amen. Nobody can make you live this life. If you're doing it because you're being made to, it's most probably going to happen that you decide not to at some point in the future. This part's not in my notes, but you know, I was raised in church. And then I backslid from 14 to 20 for about 6 years. It was a turbulent time in my life. My dad had died. My single mom, who was in a wheelchair, me and my sister were still the juveniles in the home. And it was a turbulent time. And I got sucked in by the world. But when you're in the midst of the darkness of the world, you see a lot of sin. I could see all the things that are around me and what everybody was doing, and none of it was good. And everybody thought they were having fun. I came to the conclusion, I cannot live my life like this. I am going to get right with God. How do you tell your girlfriend, my wife now, about being a Jesus name apostolic? About being filled with the Holy Ghost and the power of God when all you've known is that sinful party life? I tried the best I could to give her a glimpse of it. I told her, well, I'm going to live for God. I sure hope you come with me. But it had to be, if you choose to come with me, and I'm going to live for God, because if you don't live for God, we ain't going to be together no more. I'm going to put God first in everything in my life. That was September 82. Because we got married in 83. Thank you for the correction. 1982. I made a commitment. I am going to get in church and live for God for the rest of my life. And I do not regret it. I will not turn around. I will not turn back. I'm not going back to what I was, where I was, or what I was doing. I am going to go forward in Jesus Christ. Amen. And God is going to bring us to where He wants us to be. Guess what? God gave me great insight to where we're going too. And I'll tell you again, God's going to bless this church to have 140 people. And God is going to give us daughter works where God is going to start other churches. There's not going to be any need for us to build a great big edifice or to get a great big building. No, because God is going to replicate this church in nearby cities. I think Groton ought to have a Jesus Name Apostolic United Pentecostal Church. I think there should be one in Norwich too, in Saybrook too, in Westerly too. I think there ought to be United Pentecostal Churches all around New London County. Amen. No, I haven't seen it yet. But man, there's this seed that is in me that God planted right there that it is never going to go away. It's going to come to fruition. It's going to come to pass. God is going to do it. Amen. It's going to happen. I believe it. Praise the Lord. The church, as the church members, we are ambassadors to the world. We are. We're representatives of Jesus Christ and His kingdom to the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, ye be reconciled to God. We really should be able to invite someone to the house of God, to help them to find Him, to get right with Jesus. Amen. The church needs, it really does, it needs committed members. Committed to Jesus Christ. Here's another little clip I found. No local church should survive or could survive long without committed members. Some time ago, a newspaper carried a story about Mrs. Lila Craig. She was 81 years old, who had not missed in her church attendance in 1,040 Sundays. A perfect record for 21 years. Praise the Lord. Go, girl, go, lady, woman, saint. And this article, it's a worldly newspaper article, was asking the question, what's wrong with Miss Craig? Something's right with this lady. Something's wrong with the newspaper. The newspaper went on to say, doesn't Mrs. Craig have company on Sunday? Doesn't she ever go anywhere on Sunday night so that she gets up tired on Sunday morning, or on Saturday night so she gets up tired on Sunday morning? Doesn't she ever have headaches, colds, nervous spells, tired feelings, poor breakfast, sudden trips or out of the city, or business trips, Sunday picnics or family reunions? Doesn't she ever sleep late on Sunday morning? My Sunday morning is sleeping late. I still get up at 7 o'clock. Doesn't she ever read the Sunday paper? Doesn't she ever, or doesn't it ever rain or snow in her town on Sunday? Doesn't she ever become angry at the minister or her teacher? Doesn't she ever get her feelings hurt by someone at church? The newspaper is messed up. Don't believe the world. You know what? When visitors come to my house, they can be assured I am not going to stay home with you on Sunday. I'm hoping you come with me to church. It's not a maybe. It's not even a question if you come to my house. And when I go away on vacation, vastly most of the time, I am still in church. If I go to Bayfield, I go to the nearest UPC church, and I'm there on Sunday. When I used to travel to Wisconsin, I used to go to my home church in Superior. This lady was 21 years. I don't know if there's anybody even here that remembers. The UPC used to have membership award bars. Member, and you would, if you made a whole year without missing a Sunday, you would have a recognition award bar given to you by the Sunday school department. They could order it and get it from the publishing house, and you'd get a bar for 1 year of continuous faithful attendance. You know, when I was growing up, I went to church every Sunday, whether it was snowing, and it snowed a lot of days. Northern Wisconsin. It rained a lot. It was adverse conditions a lot. I remember because we used to walk to church. But by the time my bar was getting 2 and 3 years long, I remember, and I got to quit. But this is how I grew up. Danny McGraw was a kid in my childhood. He was right my age, went to my same school. He was my friend, and we buddied around. And Danny McGraw had like 10 bars. I had 3. He had 10. That boy had been coming to church since diapers and never missed a Sunday. There's something in me that says I need to be faithful. I need to be committed to church, not just now because I'm the pastor. I'm telling you, this commitment to church, this commitment is bred within me. There was something put in me as a child. James is getting it, putting in him right now. Elizabeth and Rachel, they're getting those seeds of commitment planted in their hearts right now. They're learning to be faithful to the house of God. If it's rainy, if it's snowy, doesn't matter what the condition is, I choose to be faithful to the house of God. And I tell you, God will bless your life. Amen. When you're a grandpa, James, you'll be telling the other people, God will bless your life. And you can say it with full confidence, like I am today. It's not a maybe or a might. I'm telling you, by experience, for sure, God blesses the faithful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One more place in Scripture. Stand with me. I want to read this and we'll wrap it up. Matthew. Jesus could not be stopped. His work could not be stopped. Demons couldn't stop him. The religious people couldn't stop him. The authorities, the kingships, the authorities and power couldn't stop him. Yet the Bible tells us that people prevented the omnipresent one from doing his work in Nazareth. Principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness in this world cannot stop the church. That's not the church's problem. Because the church will overcome all those things. We're given victory by the word of God over those things. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, verse 54 to 58, several verses here. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brother James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters, are they not all with us? We know his family. They're from right here. Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You see, it was the people of Nazareth that lacked faith. They were not committed to the word of the Lord. The only thing that can stop this church is the people. Principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in this world and all that ungodly bad stuff, that will not defeat the church. I tell you, this church will be victorious over darkness, over the world, over sin. This sin has already been defeated. Jesus paid the price. It's already done. The holiest moment of the church service is the moment when God's people, strengthened by the preaching and the sacrament, the sacrifice that you give, the best part is when God uses us to go out into the world. Amen. We're about to be dismissed from a Wednesday night service. But I tell you, when you are committed to the church goes with you. It's in you when you walk out that door. Praise the Lord. Would you raise your hands with me? Would you ask God right now, Lord, would you go with me when I leave this door? Lord, my commitment to you, Jesus, is beyond this room. It goes beyond this sanctuary. Lord, I pray that you would be with me and in me and speak through me. Lord, that you would do things with me and help me, God, to serve you. Even when I leave, Lord, the doors of this church, when I get in my car and I go home to my place of abode, when I go to my work and when I go to the store, when I deal with my family, and when, Lord, those things out there in the world, God, that you would be in me, Lord, in all these things, that in the name of Jesus, Lord, that my commitment to the church would continue in every place that I go, in everything that I do, in all things that are about us, Lord, that your will would be accomplished. Thank you, Lord. Help me, God, to be committed to the church. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful Savior. Lord, you are worthy. Thank you, Lord, for your will to be done in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.